Tipalinga joins us in the program. 20 years on from 9/11, I've known Tipari a long time as well, and of course we've just acknowledged the 9/11, two decades on. She was actually in New York at that time. But also, when we look at the Tūhoe raids of 07, she kept an eye on that, the massacre in Ōtautahi, the terrorist attack last week in Auckland's west, a chance to reflect on some of our misguided surveillance of tangata whenua. Tipare has American connections too through her whakapapa lines and also down into Ngati Maniapoto. She's with us today. Tipare ngā. Tipare, tēnā koe.
Oh, tēnā koe, Dale.
Ngā mihi nui kā koe, Tipare. An artist, musician, and of course long-time resident of the US of A. It must have been, again, very sad to see the imagery thrown up onto the screens again. It's hard to believe that two decades have passed since that tragic day. Where were you 20 years ago, and where were you 20 years on?
Oh, yeah, Dale, it was. I actually didn't realize kind of the momahara, the memories would come back so heavily yesterday. I was asked to do another interview, hadn't actually thought. It sits in the back of your mind, you know, but you kind of, I think those traumatic events, in order to just carry on, you try to forget and live in the present. And but definitely yesterday was a day spent in our whare, thinking about what had happened 20 years ago. Yes, I was in New York, actually with Toy, my ex. I had taken him over to the States to see where I'd done my schooling, where I'd grown up before we got married. And we had been working late nights in bars, went home, put earplugs in, but in the background could just hear endless ringing on the phone. And eventually kind of we woke up, he answered the phone, and it was one of his New Zealand mates who just arrived in New York and was going, "The towers, bro, they hit the towers. And, you know, he's toys holding out the phone. We're thinking, this guy's nuts. What the hell is he on about? Turned on the TV, smoke's bellowing out of one tower. The reporters barely even know what the hell's going on. We're looking at each other, open up the windows, the smoke, you know, fighter planes, go back to the TV and watch the second plane hit the building. So we just were like in complete shock, hung up the phone, listened to our messages. It was my aunt, June Jackson, "Come home, get on the plane." My uncle Brian up at Totoko FM, "Are you okay?" You know, just endless messages from home. So we kind of, in real time, it, because of the time difference, I guess New Zealand had known before us, and we woke up. It was really jarring and shocking and kind of hard to describe. Yesterday I described it, they all probably sounded odd, but like being in a surrealist painting, like a Salvador Dali, where things have stopped and you're looking out on the streets. And I just remember, having been in New York for so many years, there's never a time of day or night where there's not people on the streets. And no one was on the streets. So, yeah, that was the beginning. That was that morning anyway. And, you know, but it was an unfolding. It wasn't just that moment, but it was very shocking.
And it is to this day as well. The ramifications of that day 20 years on, though, we're still living with globally, aren't we? And obviously the immediacy of the move across to Iran, Afghanistan, was very swift. And we've just seen the withdrawal of troops there too. And sadly, many are shaking their heads thinking, well, what was achieved by that 20 years? Understandably, Western society also, you know, put measures in place to identify potential terrorism, and that flowed all the way here as well. You've got a long association with Ngaitua. You've got your tamariki, you from there, and obviously we're conscious of the 07 raids, misguided attention, it would seem, and then a white supremacist who was, not being tracked, did the filthy work down at the mosque in Christchurch. And even what happened in New Lynn last week has some flow on to this focus on terrorist activity and thinking as well. What would you make of, or what did you make of the way our country reacted, and perhaps even America?
Well, as I said yesterday, Dale, I'm uncomfortable speaking as a Māngai for other people's causes or cultures or experiences. I don't feel I have a right really to discuss those. I can discuss here, of course, in the raids, because as we know in the media, it was the number one and two was Tame and Kaifiria from Ngāi Tūhoe and Ngāti Maniapoto. So I'm from Ngāti Maniapoto and my ex was from, well, is from Ngāi Tūhoe, as you pointed out. So we were very much the focus of so-called, well, as we've also alluded to, terrorism accusations, which, yeah, really pissed me off. That's another horrible, traumatic time. I guess in my mind, they do link in internationally. As someone who grew up in LA and New York, I have separated a lot of things there on the ground to things on the ground here, because our experiences kind of Tawhenua is Rerekē again, but utilizing and using the fear internationally that governments had due to 9/11 against Indigenous culture here was just horrific and appalling. And again, another shock to wake up and, you know, your father-in-law is in jail for terrorism charges when it's obscene, because everyone knows where to go knock on the door and see Tame down there. So, yeah, really horrible, horrible experience, and still live with the effects of that personally. Like, you know, me and my kids sort of semi-laugh about it, but I have this thing, I'll hear noises around the house, and I'm like, what's that? Where's that? You know, because you feel like you're getting bugged randomly. So, because they did do that, and they did follow us, and we're just regular people with kids trying to, you know, live our lives. So the government definitely, during that time, that was a mess, a complete mess. Still pisses me off. I think the government that we have at the moment, and, you know, again, I tread very carefully with any other cultures' experiences. I could never step into that. But I'm not sure a leader could have handled that situation better than Jacinda. And I think that's probably because from where I was sitting, there seemed an element of authenticity in her immediate reaction. So that was warming to see. But again, Māori activists here have been alluding to white supremacists for decades, long before they even labeled Tame and Rangi Kaifiria terrorists, which they weren't. It was existing anyway. So there's a lot of complexities to all these things. I have no comment really on the new limb, what happened out there. I'm still just coming to, you know, terms with reading the news and what's come out of that. But I think yesterday for me, the saddest part was, and I kind of wrote a bit of a love letter to New York, because for me, New York represents humanity. There's just every culture you can imagine swimming seamlessly amongst each other. That's what made me very sad about that experience, is you have Catholics, Muslims, Somalians, you have every culture in the world not stepping into each other's spaces, but a level of respect. And hopefully people can move into that. Yeah, Tomaha time scale, but I don't know if these are the answers you're looking for.
You've been really wonderful to have on the program. I thank you for sharing that kōrero as well today. Many people will be mindful of how they felt personally all those years ago, 20 years ago. I remember it as though it was yesterday because I was broadcasting that day and, like many others, just was amazed at what we were seeing. And it's still sad to watch, even to this day. Te Pare Ngā, well, that's all the best to you, Te Pare. Thanks for sharing some kōrero about that and observations about the Big Apple as well. It's been nice having you share some kōrero with us on the program.
Thank you, Dale. Kia ora. Te Pare
Tōra. All the best to you, Te Pare. Kia ora.